Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire, with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm appointed for today responsively by half verse. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication.
Because he has inclined his ear to me, whenever I call upon him.
How shall I repay the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation.
And call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
His death and his service.
O Lord, I am your servant.
I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house.
In the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who it was to betray him. And for this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table and said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is Maundy Thursday, the last Thursday of our annual Lenten observance. The word Maundy does not have any meaning in and of itself. It is one of those peculiar Episcopal or Anglican terms we sooner or later all become familiar with in our church. Scholars are not even sure of the word's origin, though most now believe it to be a Middle English corruption of the Latin word mandatum, commandment, which appears in an ancient antiphon, usually assigned for this day. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. This antiphon, taken, of course, from today's gospel account, is a good summary of what today is about. And Jesus' commandment to love is as much a new commandment today as it was in his own time. The command to love is, as always, new, as is love itself, always new. The lesson of this day, Maundy Thursday, applies equally well to last Thursday and next Thursday and to all the Thursdays and other days yet to come. It is a lesson or a mandate that we, as followers of Christ, dare not forget. Many Episcopalians today remember Maundy Thursday as a day when clergy and parishioners wash each other's feet in church, recalling the ritual recounted in today's gospel narrative when our Lord washes the feet of his disciples is a powerful example of love and servanthood. I invited my 93-year-old friend, Mary Frances, to this service tonight. She refused, sounding a bit like Peter himself. "I will never let anyone wash my feet," she said. While contemporary Christians may be a bit squeamish about the rite, their discomfort is nothing compared to that of Peter and perhaps the other disciples as well. "You will never wash my feet," Peter protests to Jesus. Masters and lords and kings, after all, as Peter well knows, most emphatically do not wash the feet of their disciples. It simply is not done. Yet Jesus surely does it. And eventually, when Peter catches on, proclaiming, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head," Peter has learned in his own larger-than-life way the lesson of Maundy Thursday, the new commandment to love. After washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus returns to the table and quietly asks his disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Then he answers his own question, "I have set you an example." It is an example of profound respect and caring for the other. And what he does for the disciples, he does for us too. He sets us an example. He shows us how things are to be done among his followers, even to this day. An example is always transformative. It commands our attention and changes us whether we want it to or not. We cannot witness examples of compassion and love without ourselves being challenged and changed by it. Our Lord Jesus does more than wipe the dust from his disciples' feet. He alters their perception and awareness of human reality itself. He makes them conscious of others and their needs in a new way, which goes far beyond cultural hospitality and kindness. It is an act of love which cannot be denied. That is why we are so drawn to it. That is why, paradoxically, we resist it. It is hard to love and be loved so unconditional. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. We, along with the disciples, can no longer plead ignorant of the unmistakable mandate given to us to love one another. We cannot say that we did not understand. We cannot say if Jesus had been just a little clearer. Our actions, to the extent that they do not conform to Jesus' example, betray us as surely as Judas's kiss betrayed our Lord himself. The integrity of our faith is measured by not by words alone, but by the example of our own deeds. Jesus gives another new commandment that last night with his disciples before going to the cross, although it oddly is missing from the Gospel of John. Paul tells us about it in our second reading, a passage from his first letter to the Corinthians. In what is arguably the earliest retelling of the Last Supper story, Paul hands on to us what he himself received from the Lord. After offering the disciples the bread and wine transformed into his body and blood, Jesus tells them to do this in remembrance of me. He commands them, in other words, to remember. The ancient words of the Book of Common Prayer echo our Lord's words. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for thee, declares the priest or Eucharistic minister in our right one's service. The Eucharistic bread and wine become for us the food of recollection, the provisions that remind us of Christ's example and commandment. And Christ's death on the cross, remembered, relived, and experienced in the Eucharist, give us a share in the life to come, where he has gone, but we cannot yet go. But if in the meantime we feed only ourselves, we will never truly be nourished. We will always be hungry and we will hunger for more, and ironically, starve to death in the midst of spiritual plenty. This is what the Lord's example has done to us. The Eucharist itself demands us not only that we remember, but also that we share and serve. God does not forget us, his people. As we recall this Maundy Thursday and what Christ has done for us, so the Lord remembers us in his kingdom to come. And in that kingdom, the Eucharistic meal that we share this day is not the Last Supper, but the first. Amen.
Please stand. The Lord Jesus, after he had supped with his disciples and had washed their feet, said to them, "Do you know what I, your Lord and Master, have done to you? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.
Peace is my last gift to you. My own peace I now leave with you. Peace which the world cannot give, I give to you.
By this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. You may be seated. At this time, we will proceed with the washing of the feet. The clergy will come and we will wash one another's feet, and then one of us will be seated. And when you feel the Spirit move you, simply come up. Wash the feet of the person in front of you, and then you will have your feet washed. And if you don't feel comfortable doing this, look upon it as an icon, something for you to meditate on and remember what Jesus has done for us.
Thank you.
Please stand for the prayers of the people.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain. Good Lord,
hear us.
For lasting peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, we give thanks for the life of Louise Ringy. Good Lord,
hear us.
For ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, that we may move mountains in service to you. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those who, that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. We give thanks for the birth of Grayson and James Rodney. Good Lord,
hear us.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. I want to thank you, most holy, faithful people, for being here tonight. It is not easy to be present at a foot washing, and I thank you for being here. It's beautiful to see. Tonight we begin what is called the Watch. At the end of this service tonight, we will remember the institution of the Lord's Supper, and then you will see that everything becomes dark, and we strip this entire church of all of the beautiful decorations in order to remember that Jesus was captured and stripped and beaten. So you will leave this service feeling very empty. We have what is called the watch that goes on all this evening. What that means is that Christians all over the world are going to be staying awake with Jesus because he asked the disciples to stay awake and they couldn't do it. So for centuries, we've been trying to do what we failed to do on that holy night and stay awake with him. You can sign up outside of Ingram Lounge to watch in your own home this evening. You could take a half-hour increment anytime between now and tomorrow at noon. Or you could also sign up to come to our Cummings Chapel, where we will have an altar of repose. We will keep the sacrament there. So if you want to come into the church and sit, you can do that as well. So you'll see two sign-up sheets out there for the watch in the homes and the watch here at the cathedral. And for services on Good Friday and on Easter Day, they are in the back of your bulletin. Walk in love, Jesus says, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh,
Holy Eucharist is offered this evening to the glory of God and in thanksgiving for the ministry of the Sanctuary Guild, who Sunday after Sunday and every weekday prepare our altar quietly for the glory of God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We were bound in sin, but in your compassion you redeemed us, reconciling us to yourself with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, with people of every nation, tribe, and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully we give you thanks and sing. To you, God of grace, for you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross, to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. The night before he died, he took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, in this sacrament of the suffering and death of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace and proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, we were far off until you brought us near, and our hands are empty until you fill them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed us with your heavenly food. Renew us in your service. Unite us in Christ and bring us to your everlasting kingdom. From you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now let us sing hymn 171.
Thank you.
went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Do not keep awake 1 hour. Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."